Oh, I'm on. I've been on the whole time. I hope you didn't turn it on when I was singing. Gee. Thanks, Harrison. Harrison, you love me. Thank you so much. Thank you. Embarrassing. Praise the Lord. Hey, just a little update about that retaining wall. So Bill Glassmeyer and I have been on the wall. And we actually have a company picked out. The man's name is Andy, because I can't remember his last name. He's from Hanover. And we are good to go. So weather. Now, yeah, that's exciting. It's exciting, and he's a great guy, and praise the Lord. Am I sounding okay, or is it still a little? Yeah. Come on, Harrison, fix that buzz. Plug me up, plug me in, something like that. Hey, that sounds good. You did it. Da-da-da-da. Okay. So as far as when we start on the wall, it's all weather permitting. And, you know, I like winter. I bought a ski pass. Yeah, right. Doing good here with the rain and stuff. So I will secede and pray for nice weather and say whatever for the ski pass anyway. So that's good. Yeah, that's a good story. Amen? Amen. Anybody have a win story of their week? Something that was, God, you did it. Okay, you got to listen to me preach. Here we go. Father God, we come to you this morning, and we just want to give you thanks and praise. You know, nobody got snowed in, iced in. We just thank you that you just opened up ways for us to come, to gather, to fellowship with people of like precious faith, and to just a time of worship, and now for a time of word. And Father, we're asking that you open the eyes of our understanding. You open our ears to hear words of life from you this morning that we need, that will direct us and change us. We thank you. You plop words in us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we've been doing a series all about the first. Everybody like first? Yep, I like first. I like the first in line. I like the first scoop out of the ice cream. I like first. But this is putting God first in every area of our life. Putting God first in every area of our life. And our scripture has been Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So seek him first. And that's what we're talking about. We're putting God first. And the cool thing, listen, you put God first in areas of your life and really every area of your life, he starts putting everything else in order. It's just amazing. And, you know, I can be a control freak, but, you know, I start putting God first. He just starts putting everything in the right way. So today we're going to talk about, and I know it's real basic, but I tell you what, I have missed the basics sometime. Sometimes I've missed the basics. So here's the basics. You ready? Putting God first in my day. Putting God first in my day. Everybody say day. Day. So we're going to put God first in our day. All right. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, dear Lord, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do it. You can do it. And I'll tell you, I have watched people, y'all, people in my family and whatnot, I've watched you do it. I've watched people do this, men, women, youth do this, kids do this. And I've watched God just do miracles and change their life, all because they put God first. And today we're going to talk about putting God first in the day, putting first in the day. So I just want to tell you a little bit about my story. It's always good to air your laundry because then y'all look so good. If I tell you about my dirty laundry, you're like, shoo, I'm not that bad. But anyway, in my early 20s, I was lost. I was thinking about that. I was lost. Only thing, I didn't think I was lost. I thought I was just so cool. I was a college student, and I was lost, and Jesus found me. He found me. And through crisis in my life, I actually called out, God, if you're real, I need to know, like, I need to know. So anyway, I was lost and then I was found. And I want to tell you, there was a big turn in my life and a big change in my life. And all of a sudden, I am passionate for this Savior. You know, the Bible says, he who has been forgiven much, loves much. And you might think, well, and listen, I was forgiven much, and I may not have done the big, bad, and dirty and all that stuff that you think is so bad, the big stuff. But listen, living one day, I was thinking about that, living one day or 20 years without Jesus is bad, and I was forgiven. I was forgiven. So I was forgiven, and I'm going to tell you, I love much, and I was running after him and just in love. I was in love with the Lord. And then I noticed, and of course, this didn't ever happen to any of you. It's everybody else and Pastor D. But after about a year or so, I noticed that, my passion just kind of chilled a little bit, And listen, I was still going to church. I actually was serving in children's ministry. I started this like 60 years ago, all right? But I noticed I was kind of pulling away, just pulling away from when I first, okay? Now, if you were to ask me, hey, Dee, did you still love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But you know what? I just didn't feel that first passion. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I never felt that first passion. Well, stick with me. I'm going to tell you how to have your first love and first passion today. But it was becoming like, wow, you know, it's just not exciting. It's just not anymore. So I went to the Bible. The Bible is a really good place to find all your answers. All right, you can call me up, and I'm going to still tell you the Bible. So I was in the Bible, and I'm going, hey, God, what's wrong with me? What's going on? I just feel like things are different. And I discovered something just as simple as can be. It's the simplest thing, but I'm not going to tell you yet. But I found out this one thing, and I started thinking about when I first accepted Jesus. It took me about 3 months, and the lights went off, and I realized I needed a Bible. Yeah. You should get a Bible after you meet Jesus, because the Bible's all about him and he talks to you. And so I finally got a Bible, and then I didn't read it every day. I read it every opportunity, every day. I read it whenever, okay? And I just kept it with me, and I would read it. But then I kind of got busy. Anybody ever get busy? Like, you want to do this, and this, those goals for 2019, but then you sort of get busy. Anybody ever get busy? And you just didn't, I don't know, I just got busy. Now, I still went to church. I still served in church. I still said, praise the Lord, you need Jesus, everybody. But it just was like, it just wasn't so passionate. All right, now, here's something that if you stop spending time with your spouse, guess what happens to your passion for your spouse? It'll sink, all right? So I stopped spending time with my first love. And the same thing happened. My passion just kind of went just down, a little bit down. And you know the crazy thing about it? It doesn't slam you first. It's sort of like this. You know, that's why they call it backsliding, okay? But listen, I was still going to church, and I would read my Bible whenever I remembered to read my Bible, okay? But the funny thing is my passion, and I knew it. I knew it. You probably didn't know it, but I knew it. And that can happen to anybody. Matter of fact, that can happen to everybody. When your passion just starts going down, you lose your first love. And it's not that I lost them. It's just that it just wasn't first. So we're going to talk about first. My first love, my first passion. How about putting him first in our day? And we're going to talk about a story in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. So if you want to open up Revelation chapter 2, we're going to talk about this because they had this thing going on too. So this book in the book of Revelations is talking about a bunch of churches. And this one particular church is the Ephesus church. It was a mega church. And I was reading some commentaries. They said, some of them said it was between 50 and 100,000. So I was like, I didn't have time to research that. I thought, someone's stretching the truth. They must be like, the fish was this big. But it was a mega church. It was this huge church. And it started really great. And it's called the Ephesian church. And therefore, we have the book of Ephesians, where Paul's writing a letter to them, right? Paul writes a letter to this Ephesian church? Well, in the book of Revelations, there's some letters being written to the churches, and there's seven churches. And one of the church, the first church that gets their first letter is the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church. Now, this isn't the book of Ephesians, okay? That letter. This is a different letter, all right? So they're getting a letter written to them, and the letter is really specific. The first part of the letter, he high-fives them. Good job! High five! Awesome job! And then later on, he sort of says, I'm going to have to correct you, because there's one thing y'all are doing not. There's one thing that you're not doing like you used to. So the letter starts out good. And, you know, we call that the sandwich effect, you know, positive, negative, positive. So this is good. They were doing good. So y'all at Revelations chapter 1. Here we go. Chapter 2. Revelation 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Okay, if you were to back up into chapter 1, John is taken up into heaven and he sees things and he sees Jesus. Anybody want to go up to heaven and see some things? Okay. So John, the Apostle John, is taken up to heaven, and he sees heaven and he sees Jesus. And Jesus is holding seven stars, which represent the seven church, are the letters, and then seven lampstands. And he sees all this and he's going, man, this is like a little weird. It's a little confusing. It's just kind of like, this is like the craziest thing. But at the end of the chapter, it says, Jesus says to him, these seven stars are seven angels to the seven churches. So we have seven stars that he saw are for the seven angels of the churches, and the seven candlesticks represent the seven churches. Okay, I'm going to do it. And all of this is imagery, okay? It's all imagery, okay? Now, that gets you back to chapter 2. It says in the beginning, to the angel of the church in Ephesus. All right. Anybody know anything about angels? The Bible says that we all have angels, guardian angels, right? And they do what? They watch over us, protect us, and all that. And I think churches have angels too, that watch over churches and protect them. Okay, so he's talking about angels. But this says, wait a minute, an angel is right. He wrote a letter to an angel. He wrote a letter to an angel, and I'm sitting there thinking, why would you write a letter to an angel? You're up there with them 24/7. That's goofy, because it's not him writing a letter to an angel. It's really not him writing a letter to the angels. And if you look up the Greek, the theologians say angel means a sent one and a messenger. And he's really writing to the pastor of the church. And what do pastors do? They dish out the word to you. They dish out the message to you, right? Right? That's what their job is. Okay, so he's really writing to the pastor of the church. All right, now let's jump over to verse 2. I know your deeds. Okay, that would be good deeds. This is the high five. You're doing really good. I know the deeds you've done, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that your account, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. Verse 3, you have persevered. High five. Good job. And you have endured hardships. Yes, for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Now, he's writing to this Ephesus church. If we were to see this church today, it would be a mega church, right? 50,000. Okay. It would also be what we might call a regional church. And a regional church is where maybe other pastors and other staff goes to this church and you learn how to do, like how to do a worship team, how to do children's ministry, how to do volunteers. So this is a mega church, a regional church, and man, they got it all together. This is an amazing church. They're just fantastic, okay? But listen to the next part. He says, there's one thing. Everybody go, one thing. That you're not doing well, okay? Matter of fact, you're doing wrong. There's one thing that you're doing wrong. And he's talking to these people where they're at in their walk with Jesus. All right. So Jesus has to come and correct them. And the reason why, listen, why do you correct your kids? Because you love them. All right. Some days you want to beat the tar out of them, but no, we don't do that. We spank them in love and we pray over them, okay? But we correct them. And even correcting somebody because you love them, because they are messing up, okay? You correct them because you love them. And he corrected them because he said, this is not going to end well unless you get back to the first. So he's doing it out of love. So let's read verse 4. I'm going to read verse 4 out of the Amplified because it amplifies it. Ready? But I have this charge against you. This is where you go, put on your seatbelt. Okay, I have this thing against you that you have left your first love. You have left your first love. You have lost the depth of that first, of that love that you had first for me. Okay, so think about this. This was going on in my life years ago. I had this first love, and then I've sort of just kind of lost it. And actually, I left it. And maybe some of you have never had that first love, but listen, would you hang on and listen, and I will tell you how to have first love, this love that is so passionate, all right? So all he's saying is, hey, you guys fell out of love. You ever hear somebody say that? Oh, I fell out of love with that person. Next, bring the next guy. But he's really talking to him about, hey, you fell out of love, okay? Now, you're still working, you know, and going to church, but you have left your first love. You've left your first love. Okay, let's jump over to verse 5. He said, consider how far you have fallen. In God's eyes, the worst thing you can do is to fall out of love with him. The worst thing you can do is stop putting him first in your day, in your life. That's like the worst thing you can do. Now, do you still go to heaven if you're a believer? Yeah, you do. You still go to heaven. You're going to heaven, but you've left. You stop putting him first, all right? And then he goes on and he says, repent. You know what repent means? 180. Change your mind. You were going this way. You need to change. Repent. Repent's really a good word. Okay? And he says, repent and do the things you did at first. So what were they doing at first? They would put God first in every part of their life. They put God first in their day. All right? And he says, hey, listen, you need to change the way you were going and put me back first. Okay, now the last part says, if you don't repent. If you don't repent, mean change the way you're doing things, change the way you're doing things, I will come and remove the lampstand from you. Now that kind of sounds bad, doesn't it? It is bad. That sounds bad, okay? But it's really simple to do the change, all right? Now, remember when he was talking to John in the beginning and he says, listen, I'm walking around with the seven lampstands at the seven churches. And really what he's saying is, Jesus was saying, my presence is in you as a Christian and in your church. My presence is walking around you. How many of you like the presence? God's presence. So he's saying, my presence is in there, okay? But my presence is about to leave. My presence about to leave. The presence of God's about to leave. Now, were they still going to go to heaven? Because the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. But maybe you don't have this first going on anymore. All right? So he's saying, hey, if you don't do this one thing, like put me back first, if you don't do this, my presence is... And listen, how many of you would just say the presence of God is just so sweet? The presence of God is wonderful. And he's saying, my presence is about to leave your presence. My presence is about to leave you, okay? I don't know how many times people have told me this through the years. Pastor D came in here. It's just like one of those yuck days, a yuck weeks. And then the worship service, man, I could sense the presence of God. And all of a sudden, I just started weeping all over the place. God was all over me. Anybody ever hear that, see that, or been there? Okay, I've had that happen, all right? Matter of fact, this morning, I was just like losing it. Just having a glorious time in the presence, just having a great time. Or maybe sometimes people have also said, "Hey, Pastor D, when I came and we had the worship service, and then you spoke some things. I tell you what, God was talking to me. I could barely breathe. It was just like His presence." Anybody have that happen when someone's preaching the word? Okay. Well, that's all because of the presence of God, the presence of God, alrighty? And it's sad when a presence dies in a church, and we're not pointing fingers at churches because, that church, they're dead. How many people have heard someone say that? Oh, that church is dead. Shut up. Don't say that. Pray over them, okay? But listen, if the presence can depart from a church, it can also depart from an individual. Oh, Pastor D, is this going to get happy? Yes, it is, okay? So, but listen, it can happen to Christians too. And he says, just do this one thing. Just do this one thing and it won't just depart, all righty? So I want to help you understand this, and I'm just going to go over some real basic things. How many of you know that you are a spirit? Okay, and you live in a, and you have a, oh, mind, will, and emotion. Okay, you got 50% right on the test. All right, here. Now, going to the next part. So that's what we really are. Yes, you see this body. And yes, you hear this brain and stuff. But you really are a spirit. And when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, your spirit was dead and then it becomes alive. It comes alive. And then you've got God talking to your spirit. And it's just beautiful. Okay, but then we've got Jesus. Jesus has always existed, right? He was the creator. He's always existed. He's God's son, and he came to earth as a human, right? Now, we've got Jesus, who came to earth as a human, okay? And he's now living in this human body. He's living in this human body. And do you know that he's got to do some things to keep this body in control and the presence just up there? He's got to do some things just like you and I. So turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark 1 verse 35. Mark 1 35. So I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. And if Jesus did it, I think I might do it too. I think I might ought to do it. All right. So here we are. We're at Mark chapter 1. Mark 1 verse 35. This is Jesus talking. It's talking about him. Very early in the... Yeah, I'm just going to rub that in. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Okay, so if Jesus had to get up in the morning early, and he's going to go do some prayer thing, and it's really he's going to just stay in that presence, just have a conversation with his Father, just talk to him, and just have a great old time. All right, so some of you, I'm going to blow your gasket right now. Get ready, ready? Okay. Some of you are saying, "Morning? I don't have time for that. I'm too busy." I'm too busy, all right? I don't even know how you do this. Well, let me tell you. Some of you are going, "Well, I'm a night person." Any night people? Don't raise your hand. I'm going to tell you how to be a morning person. You ready? Write this down. This is how you become a morning person. Because what Jesus, matter of fact, there's about 7 references where Jesus would either disappear early in the morning and go pray, or else he just prayed all through the night. All right. So, but listen to this. This is what you do. To become a morning person, set your alarm a little bit early. Okay. How is it? 30 minutes early. Just set your alarm 30 minutes early. And then for the next 3 days, get up when it rings. Get up. Don't hit. Okay. So you're going to set it a little bit early and you're going to get up for 3 days in a row. And on the third night, you're going to be so tired, you'll go to bed early, and then you're going to get up early, and you're a morning person. Yay! Okay, and you're going to be like Jesus, all right? So That's how you can put God first in your night. No, day. Put God first in your day. Just loving it, Pastor D. Thanks. No, okay, all right. Listen, you put God first in your day, everything else falls in place. Everything will start falling in place. You'll have answers. You'll sometimes things just change, but you'll be good, all right? Now, I just want to tell real quick, I'm just going to share about my day and how you can be putting him first, all right? Putting him first. What you're going to do is figure out what time do you have to leave your house? Okay, Susan, what time do you have to leave your house? Way early. Quarter to six. Woo, 4:45. Okay, who works? You're self-employed. You can leave whenever you want. You guys don't count. Retired people don't count. Emily, what time do you have to leave your house? Whoa, gosh. 4:20, okay. So what you do is you find out when you have to leave your house, all right? I actually have to leave my house at 8:30. And then I'm going to go backwards. And then I'm like, okay, I got to jump in the shower by 8:30 to do the makeup and the hair so I can leave my house at 8:30. Then I'm going to back it up however long you want, and that's when I'm going to get up. It's not hard, right? So real easy, not hard. Find out what time you have to leave in the morning. That'll tell you what time you need to get up in the morning, all right? Okay, real easy. Okay. So I get up around between 5:30 and 6:30. Just kind of depends, all right? And then you know what I do first? I turn on the coffee maker. Some of you, that's okay. Okay? And then I grab my Bible and I sit down. Some days I'll sit there for an hour. Some days I'll sit there for 20 minutes. Okay, some days I'll sit there for 30 minutes. Some days it's like 10 minutes because I didn't get up when I was supposed to, okay? All right, but okay, after you get up, the first thing I do is I grab my Bible, okay? And I grab my Bible and I read it. I read it. Notice I didn't say I grab my cell phone because it's me. I like doing that, all right? So if you do the cell phone or something like that, that's fine, but me. And do you know why I read my Bible first? Do you know why I read my Bible first? Well, let me give you, just think on this. How about you got an invitation from God? How many would like an invitation for God? So how about I got an invitation from God and God says, hey, I am going to tell you all about creation. I'm going to tell you all these principles. I'm going to tell you all these treasures and secrets here. I'm going to tell you, but you got to get up and I'll tell you. How many of you would take the invitation and get up? God is going to tell you some wild, wonderful necessity things for your life, okay? So how many of you would get up? Right? I probably would get up. How about what if God said, hey, if you get up every morning, I can tell you what your day's going to be like, and I'm going to tell you some things to do so it can do better. How many of you would get up? Nobody's raising their hand here. Okay, thank you, Eric. All right, okay. Well, listen, that's what happens when you read your Bible. God talks to you. He talks to you. He talks to me, he really. And as I read it, it changes. It changes us. It tells us how to do life and even how to do life better. How many of you could do life a little better? I can remember, this was years ago. Man, just Jack and I were at it. It felt like for a year or so. And it was the same old blow-ups. Just same old, same old. It's like I'd fall in the hole and I'm like, crud, I'm in the hole again, okay? And then, you know, I started asking God. And you know, he said it was about me. He says, let's talk about you. What? Let's talk about him. No, what? Okay. But listen, he would talk to me. So not only would he put me on the right path, he can keep me on the right path so I don't fall in the hole. So it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. So by the way, when I read my Bible, it is not homework. And if you weren't here last week, you should get the message. It's like a treasure before me. When I read my Bible, how many of you read your Bible and God talks to you? How many of you read your Bible? Listen, there are times I put it on at night and I might hear, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God, and I'm out. But I'll tell you what, you know what it is? It's peace. That's okay. That's better than watching NCIS shoot 'em up, dead bodies, decapitated heads. Right? Okay. So why not do that? I'm telling you, just do that. So praise the Lord. If you have an invitation to go to him in the morning and he will tell you great and mighty things that will just encourage you, direct you, change your life, wouldn't you want to get up? Nobody's raising their hands. Okay. All right. So anyway, I read my Bible. You just start someplace in the morning. Start someplace as long as you want, as short as you want. Please do more than 5 minutes. Okay. Just try to guarantee if you just do more than 5 minutes. Okay. But just start someplace. All right. And then after I get in the Word, I start singing. All right. Now, back when everybody was living in my house, I would just find a corner and I'd pop headsets in, I'd put some music on and I'd sing really soft because I didn't want to wake anybody. Really, I didn't want anybody to hear me. Okay. But now it's like, who cares? So I just sing a few songs. Actually, I'll sing just, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's not even a Hillsong special. Okay. God, I love you, I love you, you know, okay. So I just sing, and then sometimes I'll pop on a CD, and I'll sing with a CD, and I'll sing a couple of songs. Some days I think I need like five songs just to get over here. Okay, after I sing, I read the Word first, and I sing, I worship him. Sometimes I'm just saying my worship. Just say, it's not, la, 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 okay, I said, but it's a worship. It's me worshiping him, okay? And then I'll sit still. I do not go back to sleep. I sit still. By the way, don't lay down to do any of this because I'll tell you, you just go to sleep. So I'll just sit still. And some of the things that I've read, God starts bubbling up and starts talking to me. Okay. And I'm just getting still. And then sometimes I'll start talking to him. Hey, God, this is going on in my life. You know, I need some help here. And he'll start talking to me. Okay. So that's the still part. I get still. And the last thing I do is pray. Pray. All right, so real easy. That's my little simple devotion. I do it every single day, every single day. Even on Sunday, how about that? Yeah, I do it every single day. And you know what I found out? When I do it, I crave it more. When I do it, I crave it more. I just like, and listen, you will too. You will too. So, but I want to encourage you to do that. Get up in the morning, okay? Now, I want to tell you why. There's benefits. How many of you like to know the benefits? So I was reading this cream that you're supposed to put on your face, you know, and I want to know what benefits, okay, because I got these wrinkles here and then, you know, the saggy things going on like a chicken. So I'm reading the benefits and I put that one back because it didn't do everything, all right? So how about you know the benefits of putting God first in your day? Anybody want to know the benefits? Okay. Here's our main idea, which is our benefit. If you're taking notes because you're smarter than a fifth grader, write this down. When you hang out with God, I want you to know this more clearly than you ever did before you get to the bottom of the parking lot, but write this down. When you hang out with God, nothing can hang out on you. When you hang out with God, nothing can hang out with you. All right? Now, have you ever gone through a walk in the woods and you come back home and you got all those little, what do they call them? Nettles? Sticky thingies? Jiggers? Oh, yeah. Don't even talk about ticks, okay? But little burrs? Wow, I didn't even know the names of them. But they stick all over you, okay? How many of you figured out just walking through this world? You walk through this world, just get up and just do days of this. It just tries to stick on you. Yeah, it'll try to stick on you, okay? All right, but listen, so you decide you're going to hang out with God first, all right? And just start wherever you are, and you start hanging with God, and guess what? Those things don't stick like they used to. They don't stick. All because I'm going to hang out with God first. I'm going to hang out with God first, all right? Now, let me just say this. If you are just depending on Sunday morning service, which, by the way, amazing, just great. I love to come in and hear a worship. It was just beautiful. And I love to hear the word of God. Yes, Pastor D, you're so good. And I love to hang out with people of like precious faith. I came in this morning and I was just having a great old time with Pam. I love just to hang out and talk with you. But if that's all you do, you're missing stuff. Okay, listen, if you just depend on that, you're going to miss it. So that's why every day I'm going to put God first in my day. In my day, all right? So please keep coming. Bring people. There's a lot of empty chairs today. I'm going to call them up and say, it didn't snow. What's your excuse? Like, come on. I don't know, maybe they pulled an all-nighter and they just did something like that. But anyway, okay, so I want to show you what happens when you hang out with God, when you put him first in your day. I want to show you the benefits. You ready? Number one, sinful things can't hang out on you. Sinful things can't hang out on you. All right, so I don't know about you, but I'm walking through my day in this world and I'll see a lot of bad things. I'll hear a lot of bad things. I'll think a lot of bad things, all right? I got to work at it, all right? But if I hang out with God, that stuff can't stick on me. It's not going to stick on me, okay? So I have to hang out with God. Now, here's a good scripture for it. Ready? Open up to Galatians 5. While you're getting there, this came to me when I was preparing this. So sinful things won't stick on you if you hang out. In the summertime, if I come Market Street and then I turn left on 616, they got the game lands here. On a summer dusk in the summertime, I'm driving home and you hear ding, 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 ding. And my windshield is full of bug juice. Yeah? Anybody have that happen? Bug juice all over the place, okay? So if I don't stop and clear that off, get my Windex and my paper towel, then that should do it when I get home. It's usually the next morning. If I don't do that, I can't see clear. Bing, 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 bing. All right? Anybody ever happen to you? All right? So this is what I've learned in life. If I can hang out with God first, even though I go through life and there's bing, 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 bings, 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 I can clear it off. I can clear it off and I can see better. How about I think better. So look at your person next to you and say, you need to think better, all right? Think better, all right? It actually cleans the windshield of your mind. The word hanging out with God will clean the windshield of your mind out. It'll clean it up, clean it out so that you can see and hear and go, all right? Amen. All right, you all at Galatians 5. Praise God. Galatians 5. I'm not trying to find it. Galatians 5, 16. So I say, walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, if you read this in context, the context of this, the desires of the flesh, okay, it's talking about all kinds of sin, all right? And sin will try to stick to you, just like those little whatever you call them, burrs, okay? All right? So he's saying you won't gratify or give into them if you walk in the Spirit, okay? So walking in the Spirit is our objective, right? You should walk and say, you need to walk in the Spirit, all right? Now, walking in the Spirit's just hanging out with God. And there's lots of ways to hang out with God. How about I'm just going to spend time reading, spend time worshiping, okay, praying, all right? So there's lots of ways you can walk in the Spirit of God. And guess what happens? When you walk in the Spirit, guess what happens? Wow, it cleans the windshield of my mind, right? It also strengthens me, all right? And so I can walk free from all the other junk. Praise God. Now, over the years, I've talked to hundreds of people, and someone will always come into my office, Pastor D, can I talk to you? Yeah, come on in. Close the door. I thought, oh, it's going to be a biggie. Okay. And they'll say, Pastor D, I'm struggling in this area of my life, aka sin, all right? And Pastor D, I keep falling into this same sin. Pastor D, I don't know what to do. So I tell them what to do, all right? I'll tell them what to do. And then I'll tell them this, and I'll say, hey, listen, you just do this one thing for a whole week. It'll change everything. So a lot of times, there's usually a couple of things. But one of them, I'll say, hey, do you drive to work? They go, yeah. I said, how long is your commute? And they'll say 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. I said, listen, pop on a CD and just start singing. Just worship God. Worship Him. God, you're so good. And then just keep the CD going and don't close your eyes. Keep your hands on the wheel, okay? And just tell God how good He is and how much you love Him, all right? Just, yeah. And you do that for a week. You just do that for a week, and you'll be able to resist anything that's trying to stick to your windshield, stick to you. And they come back and they go, Pastor D, it was the best week. The next week was the best week. Okay, all they're doing is hanging out with God, you know, the presence of God, walking in the Spirit. And it's so easy. Guys, this is easy stuff. This is just easy, basic stuff, but it's stuff. All right. All right. So hang out with God and you'll fill up with God, and these things can't hang on you, right? Here's number two. You've taken notes. Number two, hang out with God and oppression can't hang on you. So when you're hanging out with God, oppression, I'm going to throw the other word in there, depression, can't hang out on you. Nothing can hang out on you when you hang out with God, depression and oppression. Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression, because sometimes there's chemical things going on, okay? But if that's not you, okay, if that's not the situation here, I'm not talking to you, but I'm telling you what, walking through life, you can get a little oppressed. I shared last week in our group, the week before, I had a week, and by the time Monday hit, I was just feeling this oppression. Pastor D? Oh, yeah. I was feeling this oppression, just this, like, very negative, not joyful, not hopeful, and okay, guess what I did? I just doubled up on the hangout time. I doubled up, tripled up. Actually, all through the day, I was doing the hangout time. And if I wasn't reading my Bible, I'd throw a CD on. I have old CDs that play the Bible, okay? And if someone wants to show me how to do this on my cell phone, that'd be awesome, okay? All the other things. And then I put some ministers on, and I was just hanging out. And, you know, eventually, by the end of the day, by the time dinner came, I was like, woohoo, this is a good day. And the things that were oppressing me and the thoughts and the problems were like, whatever, my God, He's got this, okay? But, okay, let me oppress you. Think about our nation. No names mentioned, but I don't care who you side you're on. It could be a little oppressive, depressing, all right? Think about some of these other nations. We got Korea and Iraq, and then in Russia, and then you toss China in there trying to steal everything, you can get oppressed. Yeah, it's just bad. Just think about the things going on in this world. You can get oppressed. Just think about what you think your kids might be doing. When they were in high school, oh, Jesus, thank you. Okay, think about the economy. And by the way, we pray here, and we're praying for our economy. We're praying for headquarters to move to York. We're praying about jobs. We are in faith for this. But if you think about it, you might get a little depressed, a little oppressed, okay? And think about your life. Some of your life may just make you feel a little oppressed and depressed. Okay, don't raise your hand on that one, okay? But here's what you do. Here's what I did. I hang out with Him first. Crack open my Bible, put on the Word or something like that. And then guess what? Everything just kind of gets in its proper place. Okay. Now, so when I hang out in the morning, life may still be a mess, but I'm like, I'm happy. It's okay. My daddy God's a good, good God. He's working on my behalf. He causes all things to work to good. All right. Okay. And then when I start thinking about Washington, D.C. and the mess down there, it's okay. I'm happy. I'm praying for them, all right? When I think about church some days, I'm like, that's okay. I'm praying. It's going to be fine, all right? So hang out with God, and it can't hang out on you. Real simple, all right? Number three, write this down. What happens when you hang out with God? Number three, worldly things can't hang out on you. Worldly things. Now, listen to me. When I say worldly things, I'm not talking about sin. All right? I'm not talking about sin, but worldly things, okay? Worldly things, you know, just you and I just being filled up with the things of the world. How about you and I just being consumed with this and that of the world? Notice I said filled up and consumed, okay? But when I put God in his place, that sounds like put God in his place. When I put him in the place first, okay, these things just don't hang on me. All right, now, I'm going to give you an example. Here we go. Putting God in first. How many of you love Thanksgiving? I love Thanksgiving, especially when I was a kid. Now, I grew up in North Jersey. Mom and Dad had six kids, and my Aunt Florence and Uncle Dave, we all came out of Brooklyn. One day, at one point in time, we grew up in Brooklyn. You could have heard my dad's accent. He's from Brooklyn. Okay. So, but then they all moved out. Like my dad and mom moved to North Jersey, but my Uncle Dave and Aunt Florence, they moved to upstate New York, Spring Valley. It's just kind of over the bridge. Okay. And Aunt Florence would host Thanksgiving. Now, I love Thanksgiving, and I cook a lot of food. Aunt Florence, triple the amount of food. And, you know, and the thing is, when they lived in Brooklyn, they lived in these little ethnic communities were all around them. The Italians. I'm going to do that. What's it? 23 DNA or something like that. I'm believing there's some Italians in me. I just love their food. Just love it. Okay. I'm going to do it. I am. Okay. But anyway, so therefore Aunt Florence just didn't make the turkey and the ham and the sweet potatoes. She made Italian sausage with peppers and onions. And she would just have all these Italian dishes on top of the regular dishes. Okay. And you'd go through the line. I would go through the line. Everybody else is probably smart, but I would put this on my plate. And I'd sit down and I'd start eating. Yes, I like to eat. Okay. And I'm eating. And then I'd go back for more. And I just, you know, cause it was just the Italian food was just so good. My aunt, just a great cook. And oh, by the way, she is the only person to this day that calls me by my given name that I don't get mad at. She calls me DeVita. Okay. Everybody else is a solicitor or I'm in trouble. But if Aunt Florence is like, oh, DeVita, I was like, I just melt. And she's this real roly-poly. She looks like Mrs. Santa Claus, just the sweetest thing. And she'll always say, God love you, child. God love you, child. Eat more. Eat more. So I was following her directions, okay? And then it's all of that food, and then it's dessert time. Okay, dessert time. And she does the pecan pie, the apple pie, the pumpkin pie. But the Italian cannolis come out. They're chocolate ones. And the problem is I am so full, I can't eat another bite. I can't eat the desserts. Anybody ever get like that? Y'all who do a couple of things, you know, you travel to three families, okay, you get it. But so why am I telling you this? And some of you are still doing your 21-day fast. Okay, let me tell you. Spending time with God is like, it's like hanging out with God is like filling up first on the desserts, on the cannolis. Oh, and also she goes to and buy, she has the pink box. She would go to the Italian bakery and they have these cookies. I don't even know the names of them. And they come in a pink box and you pick them up. Okay, so we got the pies and the whipped cream and the cookies and the cannolis. But spending time with God is like filling up on that first. Now, how many of your mama said, first you eat, then you treat. First you eat this stuff, and then you can do. But listen, hanging out with God is like first on the desserts. And you know, if I could fill up first on the desserts, that other stuff, I'd just pass the gravy and the mashed potatoes and all that stuff. I'd just pass it up because that stuff's so good. Those desserts are so good. Now, if you're not a sugar person, I'll think of another story for you, but love sugar. Anybody like sugar? I love sugar, okay? But I'm going to say it again. If you fill up first by with the Lord, everything else will just fill in its right place. It will. It does. How many found that out? You just fill up with God. Just things just kind of do it. Okay. Turn over to Mark. Okay. Enough of my make you hungry story. Mark chapter 4, verse 5. No, verse 18. Mark 4, verse 18. Mark 4, verse 18. Oh, did I skip a scripture? Hold on a minute. I think I did. Yeah, I kind of missed a few things. That's okay. Mark 4, verse 18. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word of God. By the way, it's talking about believers because they're hearing the word of God. Okay, the next part. They hear the word, but the cares of Thanksgiving food of the world and the deceitfulness. No, I'm only kidding. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves to be unfruitful. Okay, how many know the word of God? The first time you hear it, it's a seed. Plant it, right? The word of God, first time, it's like a seed. Second time, it's like water. And that water causes you to grow. Y'all growing, right? You grow, okay? But if I don't put that word in first, okay, I will fill up on the world. I will fill up on the world. And I've talked to a couple of people, and they are fasting some of those things that just they found out they're just filling up on. All right. So but if I don't do this, I'll fill up on the world. Now, let me say something. The world, a lot of that stuff is not necessarily bad. The things of the world. Okay. You can have fun. It's okay. But did I notice what I said? Fill up, be consumed. Okay. Fill up and be consumed. So, and you know, the problem is if I fill up on all the things of the world and I'm not hanging out with God, I'm going to get off course. Anybody ever get off course? Anybody know anybody that's totally off course? So I don't do that. And I am going to put God first in my day and hang out with him. And guess what? I'm just going to eat all my spiritual cannolis first. And everything else just kind of gets better. Amen. Amen. Okay. Last one. What number are we on? I think it's four. Four. Okay. Last one. External enemies. External enemies can't hang out around you. Okay. We all have enemies. We have Satan, who is our enemy. But some of you have some enemies. Anybody got some enemies? I got people. You got people enemies? Okay. Okay. Don't raise your hand on this one. But I have a friend, and he's got this court case, and they're just lying about him. He's got an enemy, a person, not just a spiritual thing, that's lying about him. Okay, he's got an enemy, okay? So we can have enemies in our life, and that's why the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. Right? So you can stand your ground and swing your sword and lift up your shield. Okay? Those are things. But sometimes we've got enemies, the enemies, that you might need some help. Anybody ever need some help? Anybody know the story of Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat was an Old Testament king, king of Judah. And he's king over there, and he's got a problem. He's got some enemies. He's got about three different armies of enemies that are coming after them, okay? And they're like three times more than the good guys. You got the bad guys and the good guys. There's three times more the bad guys than the good guys, and they're more powerful. The enemy's coming after him, and they're more powerful. So guess what he does? He goes and he hangs out with God. How many of you be running into God? God! Yeah. He runs into God. God! And he hangs out with God and he says, God, we got a problem. God, we got a problem. And God speaks through the prophets. God speaks and he says, this is what I want to do. Now, most of you know this story. He says, I want you to put... Now, they got the enemies coming after them, and they're just like crazy surrounding them, and it looks like they're done, they're cooked, they're squished, okay? But God says, I got your answer. After he hung out with them, he got your answer, and he says, I want you to put the worship team in front of the soldiers. How many of you know this story? I want you to put the worship team. So let's get the worship team in front of the American army, and let's go to Iraq. That's crazy. Come on. That's how crazy it was. I want you to put the worship team. Now, I think you worship teams are so cute and all that stuff. And you can bang the drum and stuff. But that's crazy. Go put the worship team out front. Now, listen. God is teaching a principle to us. There's a principle for us. Even though this happened in the Old Testament. Grab hold of this. Grab hold of this. He's teaching them a principle. Okay? And the Bible, here's the principle. The Bible says, just write this down, Numbers 10:35. The Bible says, when we worship God, okay, worship God, God arises and the enemy is scattered. We used to sing the song, let God arise, the enemy be scattered, let God arise. Okay? But truly, hang out with God. Get in the spirit, whichever way. This happened to be in a worship thing, okay? And God arises, and the enemy's scattered. Isn't that cool? Okay, listen to this guy. His name is A.W. Tozer, phenomenal man of God, author. He's dead. He's in heaven. But listen to what he said. As God is exalted to the right place in our lives, like hang out with God first. As God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are resolved all at once. Oh, I got to say that again. As God is exalted in the right place in my life, 1,000 problems are all solved. Okay? I'm telling you the truth. There are many days that there's just problems all over. You turn your head this way, this way, that way. You know, kids, car, refrigerator's dying. It's making terrible, you know, just problems. But I hang out with God first. And then I watch God just do some awesome things on my behalf that I didn't even have to get in the middle of. Someone will call me up and say, hey, Pastor D, do you need this? And I'm like, what? How did they know that? God arise. And he just takes over and does things. All right. Doesn't happen like that all the time, but it's sweet. It's really good. All right. So when I spend time with him, guess what? You know, some of y'all are fighting. And how about you just spend time with God and let him fight for you? That's what they did. They had the worship guys out first, but behind them were the army guys, okay? But how about you got some fight going on? How about you just hang out with God first in the morning? And you might just be so surprised how this day ends up. Like you go, man, this is the best day. This is just a great day. Yesterday I thought this was going to happen, this is going to happen, this and that, but this is so sweet, okay? So, guys, he want to fix things. He want to fix things for you. God loves you. He wants to be, first, okay? But you have to put him first, all right? So when you hang out with God, things can't hang out on you. Praise God. So how about let's just thank the Lord. We'll pray. But, Father God, you are so good. Thank you for this word. Thank you that your word brings life and direction in our life. Thank you. Now, keep your eyes closed. Don't even look at me. I'm going to challenge some of you. I want to challenge you. It's just a challenge. It's not a have to, but I want to challenge you because some of you have never put God first. He's been the leftover, okay? Because you've been busy. You've never put first, okay? But I want to just encourage you, just start where you are. Just start where you are and put him first, and it'll get better. I'll tell you what, put him first, okay? And listen, I believe that God's speaking to hearts about, yeah, I need to put him first where he's supposed to be. I love him, but that's right. I need to put him first. I want to put him first. And I'm telling you, you put him first, you'll have joy and peace and life like you've never had before. I'm telling you what, he'll just flood your brain. He'll oh my gosh, all I can tell you, he'll talk to you and he'll change things. But you have to make this put him first. Put him first, all right? Now, there's some of you here, I know you used to do it. I know you used to get up early in the morning and put God first, but you just kind of got away from doing it. Life just got busy. Okay, if that's you, and life's gotten busy, just say, God, my life's gotten busy. It is busy. So help me get the busy out of my life so I can put you first. And I'll tell you, see, he'll help you. He'll help you out of that. So, how many of you would just say, Lord, I just come tomorrow. Tomorrow, Lord, I'm going to make some changes to put you first in my day. And guys, just start wherever you can. You don't have to get up 3 hours earlier, but just start wherever you can and just hang out and watch. You know, the word the Lord gave us is 2019 would be from bitter to better. Well, this is putting him first so that it can go from bitter to better. Amen. Praise God. Okay, one more thing. Here we go. Maybe you came here today and you're not even sure if God is God. You're not even sure if he's real. You're not even sure on this heaven or hell thing. Well, I just want to tell you, this is not about joining a church. It's not about joining a religion. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the light. And anyone who believes in me, I would save. I would put life inside of you. It would just be, wow, amazing, okay? And he also said that if you believe in your heart, and that God sent his son to die for you, if you would believe in your heart and say, God, I believe, and Jesus, I need you, he would just do wonderful things in your life, save you, salvation. That's called salvation. It's called the new birth, all right? So if you're here today and you have never, and you're going, gosh, I've never seen that, Pastor D. I've never asked Jesus to save me. Well, it's real easy. And I'd like to pray with you. And now there's a whole bunch of people in here. I know you've already done that. And I would say, hey, let's pray this together with these people here. All right. Let's just pray it here. All right. And you pray this prayer from your heart. Just open up your heart. Just, you don't have to think too much with your brain. Just pray this in your heart. And I'll tell you, there'll be a miracle that takes place in your life. And he will save you and bring you into his presence. And it is just beautiful. But so how about everybody say, Father God, I'm a sinner and I need a savior. I thank you for sending Jesus when I was lost. When I was so lost and dead, you sent Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. And this day, I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, everybody, look, if you prayed that for the first time, woo, you are now called a child of God, and heaven is your destination, but we're here. And he says, I've planted life inside of you, and I'll speak to you, and I will do great things in your life because I love you. I have a great plan and a hope and a future. So this is the greatest day of your life. If you prayed this for the first time, we got Bibles in the back. You don't have to steal them. We give them to you, okay? And just start reading your Bible in the New Testament. Come up and tell me. Praise the Lord. All right, it's about that time. Let's all just stand up. Father, I thank you that we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are blessed coming in and we are blessed going out. And we are the light of the world. And I thank you. We just go and we shine and we put you first in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, we love to pray with you. We'll stand in agreement with you. Come on up front. And other than that, hang out.